Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Tim Reed and Stephen Tay. Join us as we look into the book of Luke.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Reed and Pastor Stephen Tay here. It's a beautiful day to be looking through the book of Luke. We're still walking through this incredible gospel account of the life of Jesus written by Dr. Luke. We're in Luke chapter 22. Grab your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready to enjoy a wonderful morning. How are you doing, Pastor Stephen?
I am doing well.
Excellent, excellent. So we're looking at Luke chapter 22. We're going to pick it up in verse number 54. this is where Peter has a little bit of an issue. And so we're picking it up in verse 54. It says, then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. So here's this group that came. We remember they were in the garden.
Yeah.
And this group came and arrested Jesus. And now Peter decides to follow at a distance, but go hang out with them.
Yeah, so they're in the courtyard of the high priest's house. And sometimes when we read things in the Bible, we can get a real two-dimensional perspective, and we can really think of the characters in a way that's very distant from us. Mm. So what's important, I think, with a story like this is to try to imagine that you are there in the high priest's courtyard, and you're sitting by that fire, and then imagine the sort of social pressure that begins to build on Peter as he realizes what's going to happen to Jesus and then the accusations that are made of him.
It's interesting, as you were talking, I'm trying to think, who would be allowed to come into the courthouse or the courtyard? Who would be the people that somehow Peter got in there?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was an open courtyard. Everybody could just show up? Or?
John, the Gospel of John tells us that John was, that one of the servants of the high priest, I think it was, John was known to him. And so John was actually able to go in and to apparently watch part of the proceedings that were taking place here against Jesus. But John kind of got Peter in at least as far as where the servants were in the courtyard.
So it's good to know somebody. Sometimes it'll get you.
Well, maybe not so good for Peter
so
in this situation.
Not so good at this point right here. No. So we pick it up in verse number 56. It says, a servant girl saw him seated there. A servant girl saw Peter seated there in the firelight. You know, it's kind of a beautiful picture. We're sitting by the campfire. She's looking around. She's, hey, that's Peter over there.
Yeah.
You know? And so she looked at him closely and said, this man was with him. She was going, hey, you're one of those Jesus followers, aren't you?
Right.
You know, sometimes being associated with somebody, people are going to look at you and say, hey, you know that guy? Are you friends with that guy? I walked into a restaurant the other day and I looked over at a booth and I saw somebody. We acknowledged, we waved, and Melody and I, my wife, we sat down and she said, who was that? I said, you know, it took me a minute, but it was the lady that works at the post office. You know, I just knew her. You know, I mean, we don't know each other. We're not friends. We don't hang out, but it was just like, hey, you know, it's like we knew everybody. So the interesting thing here is that this servant girl and looked at Peter and recognized him. So somewhere along the way, she must have been a part of the crowd. She must have seen Jesus. She must have been somewhere where she saw Peter and Jesus together, and she made that connection piece happen.
Yeah, and this is really sort of the quintessential question of discipleship, following Jesus, associating with Jesus. And so she asks him that question, are you, you know, you're with him, you're associated with him. And that's sort of the hallmark of a disciple. You're with this guy. He's your teacher. He's your rabbi. So she's asking that question and maybe not surprisingly, if you've read before in the gospel, shortly after Jesus has told Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, no, I won't deny you. I'll even die with you, Jesus. And shortly after, we talked about recently when they were praying in the garden and Jesus says, stay awake and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Here's Peter. And even knowing those things, he still succumbs to this temptation and he denies it, saying, woman, I do not know him.
You know, that's this passage of scripture. It's a hard passage. I don't want to say it's a hard passage of scripture, but it's an emotional passage of scripture.
Yeah.
When you think about Peter, the guy, and all he did for those three and a half years that he was with Jesus, and the energy, the passion that he had, he's a passionate guy. You know, he's filled with a desire to follow Jesus, like you said. He's saying stuff, and then he comes to this moment, and a servant girl who, in the realm of things, him being a man, a Jewish male, asked a question by a servant girl, you would think that he would have more fortitude, more, you know, I mean, from a cultural standpoint,
right,
you would think he would be able to say, well, of course I am. But at this moment in time, right here, right now, Peter doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know what's going on. He's got the words of Jesus echoing in his head, I'm sure, that you're going to deny me three times.
You would think so.
You know,
yeah.
And yet he still does it. So it's a really strange, I'm struggling to find the right word to describe this passage of Scripture.
Well, again, I think it's helpful to think about the social situation.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been in situations where we felt some degree of pressure on us to conform to sort of what was going on there, peer pressure or just social pressure, whether it was to do what the group was doing or to deny that we were associated. We want to be accepted.
Yeah.
And especially in a situation where Peter recognizes things are going downhill quickly for Jesus, because this is not the typical way a trial is held.
Yeah.
Typically, they don't arrest you in the middle of the night and take you to the high priest's own house to hold this trial in sort of secret.
Mm.
And so he recognizes this is not going to go well for Jesus and probably not for those who are associated with him. And as Peter puts this together, you, like you said, you would hope, and I think we would all hope, and that's sort of what this passage starts to kind of bring out of us. We would all hope that in these situations, we would have more courage.
Yeah.
And yet we've all felt at the same time that pressure on us. And that's sort of what this passage addresses, that we think we stand like Peter. I'm going to go to death with you. And yet the Bible warns us, be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens to Peter here.
It is an eye-opening passage of Scripture that we need to read, that we need to think about, that we need to take to heart to ensure that if a moment comes when somebody asks us, and like you said, at this moment, there's some strange stuff happening here. And he realizes, okay, armed guards just came and took his master away, his teacher away, the man he had chose to be a disciple of, a follower of. And so anybody associated with him, technically, potentially, could be arrested as well.
Right.
And there's something, there's this self-preservation that kicks in and that says, you know, hey, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be brought up on charges because the end could be death. And so there's all this stuff that's running through. And like you said, we make choices in that moment when we're wrestling with all these questions going on in our head. And sometimes preachers make fun of Peter and say, oh man, he couldn't even stand up to a little girl, you know?
Yeah.
But it was way more than that. It was
yeah.
it was way deeper than that. He was struggling on the inside. And I think a lot of us struggle on the inside in regards to our relationship with Christ, but I'm going to say that with our relationship with Christ, especially in as it deals with other people in society, how, you know, if somebody asks me if I'm a Christian or if I follow Christ or whatever, sometimes we get a little nervous and we pull back and we don't exactly know what to say or how to say it.
Right. Especially if there's a situation where you feel like there's the possibility that you're going to lose face or that this person has some kind of ill intent toward you. There can be that. And I think that also what's somewhat important to keep in mind here is that this is not just, you know, some people getting together to grab Jesus. This is to think of it in the terms of these are the most powerful people in Israel outside of the Roman occupation. As far as actual Jews are concerned, the chief priests were both the religious but also the political leaders. They have all of the power. So this isn't like, you know, Jesus got, you know, kidnapped by a gang. This is the most powerful people in Israel have taken Jesus. And Peter is now, you know, this is a servant and he's in the servant's quarters, but this is still, if he's revealed to these people, they have all of the power in their corner. They have all of the authority to be able to do to him what they're going to do to Jesus. And so it's not as if this is a fake situation or a situation of little danger. This could be life or death. Peter saw that. And unfortunately, at this time, he was unable to kind of stand up to it.
But it's interesting to know that Jesus told him, you're going to do this. And I don't think Jesus told him in a condescending way. I think Jesus was just real with him and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. And we find out later on how Jesus responds to Peter, because we do know the end of the story. But let's keep going.
Yeah.
Verse number 58, it says, a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. And Peter replies, man, I am not. You know, exclamation point. You know, I don't know if there's how he said it, but the author here, the this book says, "Man, I am not. Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? I don't know this guy, Jesus."
Right. He's emphasizing.
Yeah. And then about an hour later, another asserter. So Jesus or Peter's been hanging out here for a while.
Right.
He's warming himself by the fire.
Pressure's mounting.
Trying to figure out what's going on. Like you said, there's these guards with soldiers, and he's trying to cover his face because I think one of the gospels says he's the one that cut off the ear of the servant. And so, yeah, I mean, they're talking about that. Hey, man, did you see? The one guy had his ear cut off. Jesus healed him, put it back. I'm sure they were talking about all this stuff, and Peter's just whistling over there, just don't ask me about the ear thing. An hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. So they're looking at him, and somehow they knew maybe it was his accent when he talked to them, the words that he used, whatever, his clothing. There was something about him that said, hey, you're from Galilee. You're not from Jerusalem. What's going on?
They're putting the pieces together now.
Yeah.
And Peter's getting found out. And then, he does the same thing again. Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And then the moment of truth, sort of that moment of realization, and immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And so Jesus had told him before, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. This may have been, it says the cock crow. There was a call to prayer early in the morning in Jerusalem where a priest would get up on the corner of the temple and blow a trumpet, and it was known as the cock crow. So this may have been that Jesus is saying, before that happens, before the break of dawn, essentially, you'll have denied me three times. And just as he does it, right on cue, either there's a rooster that crows or he hears the sound of that trumpet call to prayer and suddenly realize, I didn't pray last night when Jesus told me, pray, watch with me so that you may stand against the temptation. And now at the call to prayer, man, I've missed it. At the morning sacrifice, I've missed it. What have I done? And Luke includes this detail that is almost, if like I said, if you can put yourself in the situation, if you can imagine yourself being Peter, it's really difficult to take. It says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, we don't know if Peter could actually see Jesus, or if maybe Jesus was, having been beaten a bit by this point, was being transferred. Right. It says they took him someplace in the morning. They transferred him and took him to Pilate early in the morning. So he may have been walking through the courtyard at the time, just as this happened. And he looks at Peter. And you can imagine the heartbreak in Peter and the heartbreak in Jesus to some extent at this point, knowing that, here the sort of chief of his disciples has disowned him, and Jesus is essentially alone at this point.
It's interesting that, what you said about the context of everything, because if it was that guy blowing the trumpet, the Jews knew, it's time for prayer. We've got to get this guy out of here so we can pray. And that kind of makes sense in the whole scenario. So Jesus was probably being led out so these guys could go to pray. And just that look, just those eyes peering into your eyes, those eyes that Peter had seen day after day after day, those eyes that brought compassion and healing and joy, those eyes that, looked into the eyes of a child, those eyes that looked into a weeping widow who had a dead son, those eyes that just, wept when Lazarus was in the tomb, those eyes that looked at him in that garden, at that table, and he said, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times. And there's those eyes again.
Right.
And he stares into the eyes of Jesus. That moment, would cause me to go outside and to weep bitterly, to respond in that emotional way, because I'd failed. I'd missed it. I had just missed my opportunity to stand with, Jesus, the one who I'd given up everything, man. I'd given up my career, as a fisherman. I'd been following him for 3 years. I invested everything into this, and now I just walked away from it all.
And this is maybe the prime example of when Jesus was teaching, he said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and for the kingdom of God will save it. And here, Peter seeks to save his life. And I think it's really impossible to talk about this story without at least, like you said earlier, mentioning sort of the resolution right. of it, or it leaves you in a really bad place.
Yeah.
Obviously, Luke, he doesn't resolve it quite yet.
No.
He waits till, you know, till Jesus is resurrected. But we know that after that, Jesus comes to Peter and restores him.
Yeah.
Even before this, Jesus had said to Peter, after you are restored, you know, go and encourage your brothers,
right.
you know, lead people, teach them. So even Jesus had already predicted that Peter would deny him, but he
right.
had also told him, I'm going to restore you.
Yeah.
You're going to be restored. And that's the same thing for us. You know, it's hard to know beforehand, how am I going to react in these situations where there's a lot of pressure?
Yeah.
And our hope is that we won't deny Jesus. And in fact, we have something more, and Peter gained something more after Jesus' resurrection
yeah.
in the Holy Spirit to give greater boldness and courage. Mm-hmm. And so we can stand in that. But it's still incumbent on us. We still need to think about, man, the warnings Jesus gave,
yep.
the call to prayer that we wouldn't succumb to temptation that he called to his disciples that night of his betrayal, and also just to ponder the fact that even when we fail him, he wants to restore us.
Yeah.
His point isn't to kick us down, but he wants to restore us. Nevertheless, we should stand. We should
yeah.
stand when we're questioned. We should be willing to identify with Jesus. That's
yeah.
the mark of a disciple.
It truly is. I'm glad for the power that we have in the Holy Spirit
yeah.
that helps us to stand. I'm glad that Jesus is able to help us stand.
Yeah.
You know, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I think in the book of Jude, he's, you know, down in the doxology of that book, it says, you know, he's able to keep you from falling. So there's power mm. that's available to us as Christians
yeah.
to be able to stand up when
right.
pressure comes. But if we falter, if we answer in the wrong way, I think God gets it. God understands, and Jesus understands. And he's a God of hope. He's a
yeah.
God of forgiveness. Now, I don't use that as a crutch to, you know, to live a life of failure.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
I don't want to. And yet, I want everybody to realize that we're all going to miss the mark at some point.
Right. You don't say, hey, Jesus will restore me, so I'm not going to identify
right.
with him.
Right.
We want to identify with Jesus.
Amen.
Even in his suffering.
Amen. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Reed and Pastor Tay. We are just so excited that you're here. Come out, check us out at church at Bethany Assembly of God, 580 Main Street in Agawam. 9 o'clock is our traditional service. 11 o'clock is our contemporary service. Hope to see you there. Have a great day.